Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Hey, adventurers. Welcome to the show. How's it going? I never start the show just like this. I do start the show sometimes with it muted and then have to fix it like I just did. But I never start the show just like, you know, casual, like, hey, what's up? What's up, adventurers?
NPR style.
How's it going? Welcome to NPR's The Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Today,
No affiliation.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about the Elder Scrolls Thieves Guild main story quest today. We're going through some of these other stories, and actually, this one is the one that comes right after the orc one that we did last week.
Yeah, so we kind of mentioned that it alludes to where we're going at the end when you see the vision of the prophet, but before they had kind of ironed out their exact cadence of release schedule, which is honestly still kind of changed over the years, and they have a little bit.
Yeah.
Originally, there was kind of just like a zone DLC thing that would drop, and it gave a little more context, but wasn't directly related to what was prior. Like it wasn't a continuation directly to the story, which they did in the full year seasons that they did for a while, which we'll get into later. This was kind of like, okay, here's your next zone. We're going to cover this. And it still connects and gives you a little more context, but it's kind of like an extended side story.
Yes.
To where you just ended before you get to the next chapter.
Right. And this one and the Dark Brotherhood was a direct response to the fans saying, hey, you dropped a new Elder Scrolls game on us, but where's the Thieves Guild and Dark Brotherhood stuff?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't part of
the staples that everybody comes to expect from the series.
Right. So they created DLC just for those. They've got these little mini zones and their own little quest lines and sub quest lines and little dungeons and all sorts of things in them. We're going to be talking about the main story this week, which is a lot easier to do now than in the original one, right, Lotus? Because originally you had to get through like leveling up in the guild in order to unlock the other story quests.
Yeah. So one of the things which is something that the main story had a bit of a roadblock. I don't know. It just kind of slowed progression. And this is kind of one of the things that the older style system, which many of you might not even realize existed. We make reference to veteran ranks. Leveling up in the guild is a thing that people kind of like in Elder Scrolls games, where you kind of earn your rank. And we've, you know, the amount of different times we've talked about the different guilds and their ranks and their titles and stuff like that comes from doing stuff to prove you're worthy. With the Elder Scrolls Online being an MMO, it was kind of really grindy. So just be aware that how this was designed was, yes, you get a story quest, but they will not give you the next main quest to the story until you have enough rank. And unfortunately, with the MMO atmosphere to the game, it was like, okay, grind out these things for reputation, pretty much.
Right. Go on these little mini quests on the side, or help the other guildmates, and then you finally rank up and you can do the next quest.
Right.
And
so it is a rep grind.
Yeah. And being that it's the Thieves Guild, it was like, now sneak into this location. Okay. Now sneak into this location. Okay, right. Now go around this palace, avoid all the things, and sneak into another.
Pocket this noble or whatever.
Yeah.
And when you're like me or Arkaneer, you adjust it a little better. You're a little better at the sneak thievery. I'm very loud and not sneaky. So this took kind of like a revamp for my character.
Yeah.
In order to be able to accomplish this. And you kind of did too, didn't you? Even though you're more prone to
this. This was a quest line that I didn't originally play until I had taken a break and come back to the game, and then I got access to this and a bunch of the other stuff, and I think it was a few levels into it I was like, oh, this is actually hard. I need to be actually good at sneaking, because I wanted to accomplish the quests the way they're supposed to be done and not just fail my way forward or find ways of, like, you know, I don't know, cheesing it or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I need to be sneakier, but how am I going to get sneakier? I could just change my character to a Khajiit. So Arnie the Argonian became Arnie the Khajiit, which doesn't make any sense. But it definitely helped with the sneaking quest. So it helped me get through it. So.
And actually, something that I think now that he's said it is a really good point. Here's seen actually from chat. Mentions the fact that the Thieves Guild, like when you end game the Thieves Guild to like reunite it to its former glory, like after you've completed it, and you kind of
in Skyrim,
in Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, not like the province Skyrim,
right.
You kind of just grind the same variation of like, here are five radiant quest types.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep doing these in different areas. Like, okay, go to this hold and do this many until you get enough rep for it. Basically, imagine if that's how you got the main quest to progress for Thieves Guild.
Yeah, it's okay if it's on the back end and you're just looking for more content. It's not so wonderful when it keeps you from getting to the main content.
Right. And if you're invested in the stories, which so many people are, I know this was a roadblock originally for a lot of people where it was like, look, I just want to do the Thieves Guild story. I don't want to really do all this MMO grindy stuff. Mm-hmm. So kind of leaned off that.
Right. So in the spirit of this, we're going to keep talking about things other than the details of the main story for most of this episode.
Yes. It's only going to be the side stuff.
Only going to get to the details in the last 5 minutes, and we're just going to burn through it real fast.
Yeah. No. We're going to just stack enough rep that we can just speed through the entire main quest instantly.
Okay, so let's get into the details. We won't put this off anymore, but I think everybody gets the context, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So you start with the quest Partners in Crime, and here's our summary for that. You begin by meeting Quinn, a young Altmer, who offers a job involving a heist at Fulstrom Homestead to retrieve a relic called the Geovesin Skull. You agree, and together you stealthily infiltrate the homestead, overcoming various guards and traps. And a lot of these quests have, like, traps and guards you have to avoid and all the typical stuff you would have expected.
Very stereotypical Thieves Guildy stuff.
Right. After successfully breaking into the treasure room and obtaining the skull, you are ambushed by the Iron Wheel, a law enforcement group. Depending on your actions, you can either surrender and escape imprisonment or fight and escape through the catacombs where you encounter spiders and Draugr. And kind of like on our last episode, these quests still have different ways they can play out depending on which option you choose.
Some of this stuff. You'll get some pretty, you get quite a few choices in the Thieves Guild, actually. Like they're still pretty into the this or that option going. At this moment, they still haven't phased back off that yet.
Right. Once you escape, you meet Walks Softly. I love Walks Softly's name. A member of the Thieves Guild who invites you to Abba's Landing to learn more about the Iron Wheel and join the guild. Upon reaching Abba's Landing, you meet Zira. I forget how that is
pronounced. I always said Zira, but Zira? I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't hear it in my head.
Right. Yeah, I can't hear it, but I think it was Zira.
Zira, the guildmaster, who explains the Iron Wheel's vendetta against the Thieves Guild. You are then offered and accept formal membership into the guild, gaining new abilities, access to daily quests, and rewards. So that's how you get involved.
Right.
Then we move on to the next quest, Cleaning House. You speak with Zira about the next mission. She suspects a former guild knight, Velsa, of betraying the guild and leading the Iron Wheel to Abba's Landing. Zira asks you to meet her in the flooded district to investigate. When you arrive, an Iron Wheel messenger staggers out, warning of traps. Zira discovers a message on him, revealing that Velsa is the Iron Wheel's next target, not their ally. Disappointed, but resolute, Zira sends you to warn Velsa and potentially recruit her back to the guild. You navigate the traps, of course, and yeah. Iron Wheel patrols, of course. People with torches walking around. You got to stay outside of the circles.
Like, visual radius. Don't get in this if you're not stealth or they'll see you type of thing.
Right, right. So you avoid those to reach Velsa's villa. There you find her arguing with a Khajiit named Silverclaw, another good name. After warning Velsa of the threat, she agrees to help the guild if you assist Silverclaw in retrieving his stolen warehouse ledger. Following Velsa's instructions, you sneak into the warehouse, distract the overseer with a stink apple, and retrieve the ledger from Silverclaw's office. After narrowly avoiding detection, you return to the thieves' den with the ledger. Velsa acknowledges your efforts and, after some banter with Zira, agrees to join the guild. So, the stink apple...
Dude, you don't just carry around stink apples for all your diverting needs?
Dude, that was my high school nickname.
That is super unfortunate.
That's a really bad high school nickname. Hey, stink apple. Why do you keep calling me stink apple? Oh, you don't want to know.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That is tragic.
Don't ever give anyone the nickname of stink apple. They will never.
No, unless they ask.
Just like an actual stink apple, they will never get rid of the name or the smell.
That's true. The stink will follow them everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So quest number three is called The Long Game. Zira plans to investigate Kosh, a merchant lord suspected of taking over the guild's old rackets. She sends you to gather intelligence with Walk Softly at the harbor, where you uncover Captain Avani's possible blackmail of Kosh. After confirming her dealings, you help Quen investigate another dockyard boss, Zolguk. These names are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Also under Kosh's influence. You then meet Velsa and infiltrate No Shira Capital with a disguise obtained from Perseus Locke. Inside, you gather a passphrase and overhear Kosh blackmailing his targets and plotting with Chief Inspector Ronbik to, that's got a Q at the end, by the way, to recover Magnifa Flora's dowry, hoping to make the Iron Wheel leave Hughesbane. We didn't mention this. Hughesbane is the location that you're in for this.
Yes, that is the zone edition for anybody interested. That was the zone this takes place in.
Right. Right. After reporting back to Zira with the evidence, she praises your efforts and promises to review the documents to plan the next steps against Kosh. So basically a quest where you have to kind of uncover details about these unscrupulous. Is that the word? Merchants?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unscrupulous.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I like about this zone is the kind of desert / coastal feel of parts of it.
Yeah. So, yeah, for anybody that is unaware, I guess we could kind of just like touch on that real quick. Abba's Landing has a very, it is on the coast, but it's got the desert feel that you get from the Al-Kir Desert or Bankerai, that type of area. It's very Red Guard focused type of setup.
But the population is seems very diverse. Like you have a lot of people who are sailors and merchants from different places.
It feels like a port city.
Yeah.
But like cosmetically, it gives a very Red Guard environment structurally and stuff like that. So, that's just the zone it's in, and we had not seen it until this edition.
Right. And it's this little like peninsula right on the like west coast. And it's kind of very small, and it's not actually connected to any of the other zones yet.
It seems like it would be around the area that we are predicting Elder Scrolls 6 might be in.
Yes, that would be cool. I would love to see this in the fourth era or whenever they set.
Yeah, whatever era we actually get to play Elder Scrolls 6 in.
Yeah.
In whatever era in our timeline it actually launches.
It'll be the end of this next era before we actually get it. 1,000 years from now. Oh, no. All right. So the next quest is called A Flawless Plan. Zira aims to finish the guild's mission at Aldenobia Tomb. That's how you pronounce that. This is primarily Aldenobia. This is primarily a combat mission, especially if you find Perseus Locke before the Iron Wheel. Gear up for battle. Get ready. This one's a fighter.
It's going to do it.
Not a sneaky one. At the Diamond Thimble, you find the shop in chaos and Locke missing. He escapes the Iron Wheel, but fell into die, leaving a trail. following the colored footprints to the warehouse district gate where you find Locke hiding. If the Iron Wheel captures him first, you can either abandon him or rescue him from their base near Noshira Capital. If you save Locke, you can enter the tomb through a side entrance. If not, you'll find through the Iron Wheel camp. You'll fight through the Iron Wheel camp. Inside, you'll face guardian statues, traps, and a gargoyle before rejoining your party. So you better be able to fight a gargoyle.
Yeah, which originally was much more challenging.
Yeah, back in the day, those things were much more challenging. At this point, all the overworld stuff is just cakewalk. If you have like a max level character.
Yeah, I was going to say, assuming you're at least moderately geared, like properly geared or experienced in how the game works.
Right. Yeah, that's true. This game is, we've talked about it before, how some people get into the game and they don't realize that like spamming your basic attack isn't the best option.
Yes. And that's one of the things I always like to caveat. It's like, yes, the overworld can be very easy. You either need the understanding of the game or know how gear works. Either of those will basically make the overworld very simple for you. But you got to have one or the other. And if you have both, you're probably just truck everything.
Yeah, that's true. So you can figure out how to bypass Tuwaka's pillars. Speaking about Red Guards and their faith, Tuwaka. We haven't really talked much about Tuwaka and some of these other Red Guard deities.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a good name. I really like Tuwaka.
Tuwaka is a great name.
Tuwaka. So you solve the pillar puzzle using clues from a journal to open the door to Hunding's Passage. Another Red Guard reference.
A name that most Elder Scrolls fans will recognize from many a game.
Yeah, and especially gear sets in ESO.
Yeah. Hunding is constantly, and he's even got a deck of cards in Tales of Tribute.
Right. Yeah. So you follow Zira along a trapped path fighting animated statues. This is Maluk's path, another one of the deities. You collect Tall Papa's ashes, another one of the deities.
Then
all of them. This is a reference to, this is probably some of the most, I mean, you get Red Guard stuff in some of the other zones, but there's a lot right here. Like all
of
this. Yeah,
no, they did a good job kind of fleshing out some of their I don't know, history. Culture. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Go more with culture, not history.
Yeah. So you collect Tall Papa's ashes, then witness a tense argument between Zira and Velsa about past guild failures, which is a little uncomfortable because, you know, nobody likes it when their parents fight.
And also a theme that you often see in the Thieves Guild. We've mentioned before Dark Brotherhood stuff, which we'll address when we do ESO Dark Brotherhood as opposed to some of the others. But Thieves Guild kind of has a running theme of like incompetent thieving or thieving against your friends.
I mean, again, it makes sense. Like usually the people who choose the path of thievery are doing so because they're too lazy to do like a legit job. And so you end up with these personalities who are just not the best people to hire. So that's kind of
right.
All right. But this quest continues. You use the ashes to reveal a magical bridge across a chasm and then defeat another gargoyle guarding the vault. Inside the vault, you defeat Lacade.
I think it's Lacade.
The Repentant. Lacade the Repentant. We'll just go with that. After he challenges you. His spinning attack is very deadly, so you want to make sure you dodge around. Don't get hit by his spinning attack. In the nearly empty treasure vault, you discover that Nicholas betrayed the guild and escaped with the treasure. Zira deduces he's alive and had a retreat in the desert. Investigating the retreat where Zira uncovers, and that's where you uncover Nicholas's treasury. And all these names keep popping up, and some of them are just like, oh, that one didn't get mentioned earlier. These are a lot of the individuals that you just run into in the midst of like doing all of those side quests and the other things that you would have
done. One of the things that we're doing to try to help condense, just because Orsini had so many like variations, which we tried to like condense as we could. We're not really addressing all of the. So this is the main quest line.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, and we're kind of avoiding like everyone that you're friends with, Velsa, Quen, all these people. They have little character building quest lines with them. This episode would be as long as the Thieves Guild quest trying to explain all this stuff, which is not
forever.
This is not the focus of this. We're going main quest line. So there's a lot of subtext to how these characters have relationships with each other. And some of these other names that it's like, oh, who is that person? It's not really, they're not mission critical. So right. That's kind of why right. We're really not focusing on them. We do suggest you play through the Thieves Guild if you play ESO. It's very good.
Yeah. Yeah. And take time to try and do those other side quests, even in between the main quests, or even just talk to the other character. That's one of the other things that happens is you go to the hideout and you see all these people walking around and you can have conversations with each of them. And then by doing that naturally, you would get to know, okay, this is who this is. This is who this is. This person said this comment about this other person. So they must have some sort of relationship or whatever. And it kind of fills it out. So
yeah, and it does help. I mean, it's strongly encouraged to do that because by doing these you also get that reputation that we were talking about, so it makes it so it's less grindy for like repeatables by doing those. So it's kind of like encourage you to do those, but you don't have to either. So like that they're a lot more optional.
Right. So this quest wraps up. Zira leaves to inform the guild of Nicholas's betrayal, and then you return and get your reward. And just like with all these other quests, you get after each one, you go back and you get your, 264 gold or whatever the number is.
Scale it now. It can go all the way up to like 784 or something,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's whatever.
It used to just be like a joke. It was just every quest was worth basically the same amount of money.
And it's not even a round number of any sort. Then like, here's a piece of gear you're never going to use. Congratulations.
My grandfather's long lost tunic from, the center of Dagathur. Okay, great. Breakdown immediately. Yeah, one item.
Now I can craft something with it. Thanks.
Goodbye, heritage.
Yep. But that's not it. It's not done yet. We've got a few more quests to go. But before we get to them, we have to go thank our patrons. And we've got a bunch of new patrons this week. So stay tuned. Oh, and also the ad stuff still isn't working. That website, it still says we are performing some maintenance on analytics right now. So we're not going
to
read any
one
ads.
Day we'll be able
not,
to see
not ads, the, reviews.
That's the reviews. The I was going to say soon. Yeah. Hopefully soon we'll be able to see what you wrote us. We can see stars. Thank you for the stars. I wish I could read what you put.
Yeah. I could go to like the US login for Apple, but then I'm still missing the international ones. And
yeah, I was going to say then we'd have a very, very narrow idea we have.
But so we'll just wait.
We'll get to them eventually, but thank you either way, because that at least shows us that you give us ratings, and thanks for taking the time to do that.
That's true. So let's go thank our patrons. We'll be right back.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, here we are in the middle of the episode. You know what? Before I list off these names, somebody had mentioned a really genius idea, which is something that I should have done more of. They signed up recently on the Patreon. They looked through the first like 90-ish episodes. There's not exactly 90. The numbering system got weird because some of those episodes don't exist anymore because they were like gameplay episodes or whatever that I just got rid of. But anyway, it's like it's like a total of like maybe 70 something total. But they were like, hey, I signed up and I looked through those episodes. I didn't realize you covered topics like Chim and these other. If you had told me that, I would have signed up sooner. So, yeah. So you can get those other episodes and topics like Chim if you sign up on the Patreon. Go look. Heck, you can even go to the website and just kind of scroll, go way back and just scroll through some of the early posts and you can see what the topics are because the episodes are named. You just can't listen to them on the Patreon until you sign up. So head over to patreon.com/ElderScrollsLorecast. Check everything out. And thank you to our newest patrons, Andy C., Hunter G., Chickenfish. Wonderful name.
Nice.
Nice. I love all the good names. Joshua W., Chezarine.
Ooh.
And Gabriel Knight. Did you ever play the Gabriel Knight games?
No,
I don't think this is
a thing.
Yeah. Okay. So back in the 80s, 90s, Sierra, who did King's Quest and Space Quest and those games.
Yeah.
Had a series called Gabriel Knight. And I think this is a playoff of that, unless this person just has a really cool name. And I just gave away their last name, but I don't think that's actually
Peter Gabriel. They have good music.
Yeah, but this is Sledgehammer. This is a Gabriel Knight. So it's not even Gabriel Knight, it's Gabrielle. So thank you for joining. I hope you're enjoying your episodes and your extra bonus episodes and if you're getting stickers or t-shirts, all the other cool stuff. You can join us for the Patreon chat next week, which is in exactly a week on the 29th. So there's still time to sign up for that or to upgrade to that tier if you'd like to join us for the Patreon chat. Also, we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hercene, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kirasi, and Peter R. Thank you so much for all the support. You guys
appreciate
are the best.
You.
Yeah, and as I said before, we don't have our reviews up because the site I used to look at them is still updating. I might have to cancel my subscription site. I'm not going to call them out by name, but get your stuff together. Come on. I pay for this.
What are we paying for?
I pay for this functionality, and it's been a week.
Did it just feel like the Patreon just being perpetually down and saying we're working on it?
Yeah, weird. Here's what you all should do is just leave a bunch of 5-star reviews so I get inundated with them like next week, and I have to we'll spend a whole episode just reading reviews. That's just a joke. We would still spread it out, but that would be a lot of fun to see. But thank you, everybody, for the support. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
I like the comments in chat. Yes, thank you, everybody. And also, welcome to the new people who are hanging out. All right, so let's move on with the quest. We get to the next quest. This is the second to last one for the main story, and it is called Forever Hold Your Peace, which is what you have to do when you're on a long car ride and you can't take a pit stop.
That's forever holding your pee.
Oh,
different. Close.
I've been calling it the wrong thing all this time.
Yeah, there's more letters.
So when my old coworkers, when I would say, hold on, guys, I'll be right back. I have to go peace.
Yeah, they didn't. No, they probably.
They were like, okay, peace. Bye.
Yeah, no, they kept a file on you, Thomas.
Cool. Oh, that's why I no longer work there. All right. So this is how this quest goes. Zero revealed that Kosh, under Nicholas's influence, is set to marry Magnifica Felora. What a good name.
Magnifica. That's a good name. There's a lot of good names in this.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot some of the great, just like what over the top names some of these people have. They're very good.
Yeah. Somebody should sign up on the Patreon as Magnifica Felora. That'd be cool. She plans to disrupt the wedding by exposing Nicholas's identity. If I had finished that sentence a little bit earlier, that would have been a completely different thing. You don't want to expose Nicholas. You just want to expose his identity.
I feel like these very peculiar pauses and statements are changing the entire meaning of the story.
It's funny how words work. So it moves on. You obtain a wedding invitation through theft, choose a companion, and get an appropriate outfit. You remember all this? You pick somebody to go with you, and you get dressed up.
Yes, I was going to say. So this is the fun point where you pick your date, and they don't necessarily just say yes because you picked them.
Right. Yeah, it is a little awkward.
Which is more cringe.
Yeah, it's pretty good. At the wedding, you cause a distraction to help Zira enter the palace. During the ceremony, it's revealed that Kosh is actually Nicholas. Dun, 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 dun. Dun. That's not actually in the notes. We both just happened to say that at the same time. Zira exposes Nicholas's deception to Felora by showing her the stolen dowry and her ancestor's crown, halting the wedding. As the Iron Wheel arrests everyone, you and your companion escape the palace. This is like you're now in the palace and you have to get out.
Yes. Yeah. Your customary, like, prison break.
Right.
Like, not a prison break, which is the thing we'll get to later.
Yeah, not actually the prison break, but the, like, you but, are now all the way into this fairly complex, large manor, I guess you could call it.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you've got to, like, sneak your way back out, which is a fun set piece. That's a fun set. Like, it's cool.
It's pretty good.
Simply changing it from sneaking into somewhere to everything's fine. You can just walk around and talk to everybody. And then all of a sudden you're like, nope, got to sneak out.
Now
changes
you're
the
out
whole thing.
Good luck remembering how you got in because castles are huge.
Right, right. Yeah. And maybe that path is blocked off. And so you have to find another way out. Yeah.
Guards everywhere, et cetera.
Yeah. That's some good stuff. Then as the Iron Wheel arrests everyone, you and your companion escape the palace. Back at the Thieves' Den, Walk Softly informs you that Nicholas is captured and you are promoted to acting guildmaster while Zira is imprisoned. And you have some new responsibilities and lots of paperwork. And so the next quest is all just paperwork
quest. Yeah. You ever play Job Simulator? No.
ever play Papers, Please?
Papers, Please.
You just have to, everyone's like, hey, can I get a raise? And you're like, let's set up a meeting. I'll bring HR.
It'd be funny if, like, the Thieves Guild, so we can get back on territory, but wouldn't it be weird if, like, the Thieves Guild actually, like, you know, we're talking about all these nefarious things that the Thieves Guild and Dark Brother would do, but then it turns out they're, like, incredibly meticulous when it comes to paperwork.
Right. And they have like an HR department.
Yeah.
It's like
is very
the
organized.
Dark Brotherhood hasn't. That's the mod that I never knew I needed. Modders
HR, Brotherhood, Dark Brotherhood HR.
Oh my God! Can you imagine? I want a quest mod where you join the Dark Brotherhood and then you feel mistreated and then you demand that they have an HR department and then you get hired to be the HR department and then you just sit down and interview different people and find out how terrible they are.
So-and-so made me a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So-and-so tried to murder me simply because I didn't want to have lunch with them.
Yeah.
All right. Tom, give me the details.
One note in your file.
Note in your file. Yeah, go back to work. We'll be in contact.
In contact.
All right. So the final quest here is called Prison Break. And this is what you were alluding to before. Yeah. You enter the Thieves' Den. And when you get in, Silverclaw informs you that the Iron Wheel is leaving with Zira to Tanith for trial. She is held in Noshira's Citadel. Then you speak with your companions and you get different people you can talk to and it kind of plays out. Walk Softly warns that the Iron Wheel recognizes members by mannerisms and suggests bringing the Al Denobia, I said it right that time, tomb journal to the Citadel. Quen offers to scout the Citadel and marks a rendezvous. That's one of those French words that entered our English vernacular. Rendezvous point. That's my Pepe Le Pew French voice.
That was very French. I'm very proud of you.
My French teachers hated me because I would just spoke like Pepe Le Pew the whole time because that was the only reference I ever had.
Rendezvous like that, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mon cher. Velsa reluctantly agrees to create a distraction at the front gate. You meet Quen, who confirms Velsa's distraction is effective, walks softly plans to take the sentry's uniform while you enter the Citadel. This is like a group effort thing, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Inside the Citadel, after entering, you learn that from Walk Softly that you should drop the journal in Chief Inspector Ronbik's office to ensure Nicholas is sentenced and to find Zira's location. You have an encounter with Magnifica Flora. In Ronbik's office, Flora reveals that Zira is imprisoned below and offers to help if you provide proof of Nicholas' guilt. Then you go searching for Nicholas. You navigate to the cell blocks and encounter Nicholas, who offers to reveal Zira's location for a lockpick. You can choose to give him the lockpick or refuse. So this is kind of fun, right? Like he's the one who's the baddie in charge of all the bad stuff. And you're like, do I give it to him or just leave him high and dry?
Do you remember what you picked?
I don't. I think I probably refused.
I 100% refused. It was like, time to die in here. See you later. I was like, I'll figure it out myself.
Yeah, sorry. No, bye. Thanks. Yeah,
no, I don't do well with betrayal. So I was like, nah, I'm going to figure out where this is on my own. You stay in here.
Hersine says the next ESO story I should tell should just be in French. I cannot. I took 4 total years of French and I can only talk about fish and cheese and putting them on my head.
Well,
I can say.
Since all Bretons in ESO seem to have very French names, you could just save it for a Breton-based episode.
That's what I need to do with my next playthrough is create a Breton character and then on stream just say everything with a French accent.
Beautiful.
Right. His name will be Jean Valjean. Which
not even slightly offensive.
Well, I mean he's the character from Les Mis. He's the guy from Les Mis.
Oh, I was just thinking with the accent incoming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean it's French, right? He's Jean Valjean, right? And I always thought that name was so weird because it's like the same name twice.
Yeah, it's just like repeated.
Yeah. It's like yeah. Anyway, I worked with a guy named Johnny Johnson.
Wow.
Yep.
That's rough.
Yep. He was a sales guy. I'm sure you probably would have just guessed that because
yeah.
Anyway, so you leave. You don't give Nicholas the lockpick, and you let him.
Yeah,
my
case, I told him to rot.
Yeah, you just totally leave him in there and let him rot, and then you go to locate Zira. If you give Nicholas the lockpick, he reveals Zira's location. If you refuse, you must retrieve transfer papers from the warden's office. So you end up having to do another little quest. Then, after finding Zira's location, you confront Chief Inspector Ronbik, who is then locked out by Velsa. You unlock Zira's cell, and she expresses her eagerness to return to the Thieves' Den. And then it concludes back at the Thieves' Den, where Zira informs you that the Iron Wheel is no longer a threat, and she plans to explore opportunities with Flora, and it completes the quest. And so, bum, 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 you stop the Iron Wheel. And yep,
shop the Iron Wheel, and you kind of like bust up another in-house betrayal.
Yeah, right. So, oh, we've got more French in the chat too. So I'll try and do that later.
That's way fancier than I'm capable
Words
of.
Words like bibliothèque, which means library. See, I did real good in school. Je suis enchanté. Où est la bibliothèque?
Beautiful.
Voilà mon passeport.
All of the French listeners are disgusted.
Oh, they're like, that is the worst accent ever.
Just all thumbs down.
Stop. One star. Love the show. Hate the French accent. So, all right. So that wraps up our quest. Any thoughts on this quest, Lotus?
No. So this is one of the things. It's funny to call it stereotypical because it's kind of not. But there's like a... how can I put it? There's like a theme that always kind of, not always, but oftentimes kind of flows with a thieves guild, where it's just like, you know, there's somebody almost who just feels like they're above the rest of the guild. So it's like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna make my play for kind of like getting around the rest of the guild. For like, I'm gonna just be the best thief.
And right.
It's such like a common thing when somebody basically gets too big for their britches, and then it turns into like this double betrayal thing. And it's funny because even though it's a trope, it's interesting because it's not always the same way that it plays out. And I actually think that Elder Scrolls Online did a pretty good job with having it play out. And again, I personally, like I said, I did not give him a lockpick. I got a real sense of satisfaction from just being like, nope. It's like, I'll figure out where to get these documents without you.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did that too. And it was like, if I just have to do one more sneak mission, this is totally worth it. So, mission,
that was
but
my thought.
Little
there's an extra quest step because right. It's like, okay, well, you're not going to tell me where she is. I got to find some way to get there.
Yeah, so that's fine. I can still do it. So screw you, buddy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because I will have a map marker.
Right. And there's complexities with these different characters and their motivations. And then, you know, like the whole twist at the end with like, oh, these are actually the same people and like all of that.
Right. And to be fair, this was another one. We've seen a couple of these characters return later on through the 10 years of Elder Scrolls Online. Mm-hmm. But, good cast. We had joked about some of the names being really good, but like a lot of the cast was actually like pretty memorable. I actually enjoyed doing their side quest to get their stories and stuff like that, because they're relatively fleshed out. They give them a pretty decent backstory and stuff like that. So I definitely recommend, if you're an Elder Scrolls Online player, don't skip this zone. It's not a very big zone, and you are mostly condensed to that zone. And if you don't mind the grindy bit, that's really the only hold up to the Thieves Guild.
But it's even optional now. Like, you don't have to do it.
I was going
to
say, I think that, yeah, because they modified how rep works for those and stuff like that. So right. It's like, yeah, so it's definitely much easier now. So it's certainly worth a play, and it's a pretty solid addition that follows in the traditional style footsteps of a Thieves Guild quest line. So you kind of get that, like, connection to how they play out, but with the Elder Scrolls Online twist.
My tip would be, if you are somebody who hasn't done all the content before, and you let's say you're even a new player, jump in, choose whatever quest line you want to start with. I would recommend the main one, which we detailed a few weeks ago, but go through that. And then once you get to the place where you're like, okay, now I need to pick another zone, or I need to kind of continue this main quest or whatever, whenever you feel like taking a break from that quest line or from moving on to the next quest line, go do some Thieves Guild stuff. Go sneak around, kind of play with those mechanics, knock out a quest or two. And then once that starts to feel a little redundant, you're like, okay, I get the sneaking thing. I'm ready for something else. Go start another story and then get through either part of that story or the whole story, and then come back and then do a few more quests. By then, you'll kind of have refreshed your palate, and then you're like, oh yeah, what happened with the rest of the story? Okay. And then do the next thing. That tends to, like, every time I play things in that form, I find that I find Thieves Guild and Dark Brotherhood quests in ESO more enjoyable, because I dole them out in little pieces. It's like have a meal, and then have some dessert, and then have another meal, and then have some dessert. Like, sure. Treat these as little pieces of dessert. If you ate a bunch of dessert all together, you would throw up, right? But like,
right, you feel
sick to your stomach. It's too much of that, like, wacky, stabby people in the back or sneak around and steal things stuff. But if you spread it out, I find that it actually becomes one of those things I look forward to, because I'm like, okay, when I'm done with this other zone story, I'm going to jump back over here and do some more of this.
Also, since you generally are working in the underworld with the whole, you know, Thieves Guild or Dark Brotherhood, you know, you have these nefarious guilds that you're working with. If you don't, again, I know a lot of people have some pretty advanced role play they like to do and fit their character into certain parameters. However, if one, you don't mind the criminal aspect to it if you're doing this, or two, you just play things like more gamey, less role play style.
Or you're just morally bankrupt and really love.
Or, yeah, or you're just totally morally bankrupt like me.
No, you just really love sneaking and stealing and killing.
One thing that I found find that makes it easier to do, now you won't get the same degree of credit because the Thieves Guild kind of looks down on this, but it streamlines doing stuff. If you start the Dark Brotherhood, you get this special skill called the Blade of Woe.
Yes.
Where if you're already in stealth mode, you have a chance for an insta-kill. The Thieves Guild obviously is not the Dark Brotherhood. They don't want you just murdering everybody. Right. They kind of like tell you don't just go on murder sprees. Like in Skyrim, if you did like stuff way outside parameters, it was like, okay, like we're detracting some of your payment. Like, what are you doing? Like, I believe it you don't get quite the bonuses type of deal, because also it's got some repercussions. But if you're just going for the sake of like progression and you don't mind that type of thing, the Blade of Woe can actually streamline stuff a lot, especially when against like guards and stuff.
Right.
If they're like, you're trying to sneak around and you are bad at it, like me, you can just whip a Blade of Woe against the back of somebody's head and it makes getting down a hallway full of guards a lot simpler.
Yeah, yeah. It's, if I recall, some, you usually get like a lower rating, especially on those little side quests.
Yes, especially on the side quests.
Some of the main quests you will fail if you do those and you have to go back or something. I don't remember exactly. I do know
that it helps quite a bit when you're bad at sneaking. Mm-hmm. So just use that at your discretion. But if you are struggling at all with some of the stealth aspects, that having that at your disposal might be helpful to get around, especially because you get it pretty quickly in the Dark Brotherhood quest line. It's like really fast. They give you the Blade of Woe. Yes. It's like one quest in.
Right, right. Yeah, and any human, any person, elf, human, orc, you know, any of that, they go down real fast with the Blade of Woe. Yeah, and Joey in chat says, I pickpocket NPCs, then assassinate them, and then loot them again.
Yes.
Double dipping.
This is going to be, okay, so this is just one last really gamey thing. West lore stuff, this is just straight up gaminess. When I do my larceny achievements for areas, it's for selling off to 20,000 gold worth of stolen products to a fence in a specific region's area. You get an achievement, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. The thing is, if you're ever short on cash and need to pickpocket or find stuff to fence, if you sneak up behind somebody, you can pickpocket them twice and then Blade of Woe them, and it allows you to loot their body. So that gives you three things, and it eliminates the step of, basically you get three pickpockets. They have three items at max.
Wow.
So you do two pickpockets, then a murder, and then it will allow their NPC to eventually respawn. Without the added step of pickpocketing three times, and then they either just don't have anything anymore, or you need to take an extra step to kill them. So
yeah,
just a little bit of advice if you're a psychopath.
Yeah, if you're a psychopath, if you don't have a soul, then that seems like an optimal way to go about things.
Yeah,
triple.
Hey, I'm the vestige. They took my soul. They knew what they were getting into.
You don't have a soul anyway. All right, there you go.
They know what they did.
Yeah. All right, so before we do the wrap-up, let's do the random page. I remembered it this time. Her scene's going to be so proud. All right, so random page on the UESP. I hit the button, and we got Otha Rirniel. Rirniel?
Love it.
Rirniel.
Zero context for this, so I can't even help with the name.
I don't know. So Otha Rurniel is a Breton laborer found in the camp located on the western overlook above Oldgate. When spoken to, she'll say, "Why have we been visited with these disasters? Sometimes it feels like all of Rivenspire has been cursed." That's Otha. That's it. That's it. I can tell you how much health she has.
How much health does Otha have?
25,974. There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. She's easy to pickpocket. She's a laborer. She's female. She's Breton. And her reaction is justice neutral, which I'm not exactly sure. Now I'm very curious. Okay. The reactions are, the term reaction describes how NPCs interact with you. An NPC's reaction to you also determines what color their health bar is, nameplate, and glowing NPC outline, as if you have these UI, if you have these UI options turned on. So there's friendly, justice neutral, neutral, hostile, none, player ally, NPC ally, and companion. Justice neutral means NPCs can be attacked and pickpocketed with consequences. They will report crimes if they witness them and will fight back if attacked. They can also
I was thinking they would report you if they saw you. It's like that shifty horse in Skyrim where you, nobody's around and
the horse reports you. Yeah.
Horse reports.
Yeah. Me. The horse saw the crime. they can also be provoked into attacking if they witness a crime being committed, but they won't always do so. If they witness a murder, they will report it, and some will attack you or flee the scene. They have yellow health bars and white nameplates and outlines. So there you go. I guess we'll do the other ones if we get other characters that
interesting
labels. That's interesting. I didn't realize there were so many different options.
So that ended up being more than just a goofy character that has like a very melancholy existence in Rivenspire. Turned out we got a little actual game coding info as with that too.
Yeah, I love the spooky stuff in Rivenspire, but I don't know that I would want to live there.
Nah, it's gonna be a hard pass for me.
It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough.
It's gonna be up there. Hard pass.
All right. Well, Lotus, you got anything else going on you want to share before we head out?
No, I was gonna say we've got some new episode of the podcast on the way. If you caught the previous episode of Tales of Tamriel, it's kind of just our usual sort of bi-weekly schedule that we've been doing as of late. If you're on PC, I hope you're enjoying the update 43 that just came out. Still excited to get it on console in 2 weeks. Well, less than 2 weeks
just
now.
Just gotta wait, Lotus.
Yep. And
we'll work out all the bugs. Don't worry.
Exactly. Yeah. Just fix everything for me real quick.
Yep. No problem.
And the only other thing, which just was kind of a fun little, hey, remember this, was they just released the interviews, I guess you'd call them, from Amsterdam, the 10-year anniversary. And it was kind of fun because they're just clips from all interviews that a bunch of us had taken during the actual event in this area above the fighting pits, which was kind of funny because I could tell the amount just from being there. It's heavy editing because of the clanking and screaming down below from the actual night fighting.
Yeah, I remember you talking about the night fighting.
Yeah, it was intense. But yeah, so the thing was, we've got a decent little chunk of time where it's actually me and Ark included from Tales of Tamriel, which was kind of fun to see as we're on the page at the moment. So if you want to check that out, that was a fun little snippet they just released on the official page. So but yeah, other than that, no, just trying to find any game time I can and amongst all the stuff going on.
Nice. Yeah, I've got all my normal stuff, all my other shows, robotsradio.net. I've also been streaming more Skyrim, as I mentioned before. So come hang out with me, Robots Radio on Twitch. I think I'll probably end up multi-streaming to the YouTube channel. So if you prefer YouTube and not having ads, then you can go there and turn on notifications or whatever. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. Lots of normal stuff, lots of podcasting and all sorts of things, and just trying to spend more time playing games and allowing myself to just have fun and hang out with the community. You know, I take things too seriously, and I want to keep my head down and just like knocking out work and coming up with new projects and things like that. But really, the thing that would make my life better is just spending more time with people and having fun, you know?
Yeah, it's the work-life balance, even when it's something that you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
Is weird that you need to also stay focused on that. It's such absolutely. A bizarre thing to be like.
Yeah. As a content creator, I am my own business. So my success at doing this is all dependent on how well I keep doing it. So there's that internal pressure is what allows you to get there to begin with, but then you have to keep up with it. And sometimes you just have to tell yourself it's okay. It's okay to just relax and play games and hang out with people.
Yeah, no, it's funny just because it's such a weird thing to think about, but yeah, no, it totally is. It's always good to play something with your friends or for a purpose or something like that that people enjoy. But then at the same time, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to just do something that totally allows me to turn off my brain and do whatever I want.
Right,
and
right.
Have nothing related to anything.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like play highly modded Skyrim and chat with people who pop in the stream.
Total disaster.
And make jokes about, you know, how terrible you are when trying to snipe Draugr from a distance with your bow or whatever. You know, like, hey, that's fun. Come make fun of my sniping abilities. That'd be great.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, everybody, thank you for being here. We'll be back next week with our patrons. So that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And until then, stay safe out there. And if you decide to go Hughes Bane, then, you know, don't leave a lockpick for Nicholas because he doesn't deserve it.
Bring the blade of woe.
Bring the blade of woe. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
See you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.